Blog Talk Radio. everybody. Thank you all for joining in on our Blog Talk telephone website, and also tonight I'm doing Facebook Live. I have a couple of people joining in. I hope you're still on the line. If you are, please pass this video on, share this video, tell people about it. We are here on Blog Talk every Monday night. We're also here. We have a speaker every first Monday, which is Dr. Serena Wright. Every second Monday is Servant Pastor Troy Thomas. Every third Monday is myself, Sylvia Kaiser, and Minister Sheila Kaiser, along with Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser. And every fourth Monday is our very own prophet, Antoine Thomas. Please tune in. Our Blog Talk number is 310-861-2354. I'm a little nervous, and I wanted to make sure I didn't give you the wrong number. Plus, you can also look up each one of them on Facebook, because 9 out of 10, when they do Blog Talk, they do Facebook Live. Hey, Barbara Collins, my other mom, thank you for joining in. On tonight, I'm going to ask my sister Sheila Kaiser if she would pray with us and for us before we get started. Okay, this is a ministry that's called Iron Sharpening Iron through Smile 3 from our very own elect Apostle Cecilia Kaiser, which allows us to bring this platform to you, and I'm bringing it live to you from Facebook. So, Sheila, could you pray for us at this time, please?
Good evening, good evening. Good evening, everyone. I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. I want to thank you, God. And I want to say it again. Thank you, God, for another day. For another day that you have given us birth into a day, another day to live and to joy and to love and to live for you. Oh, God, I thank you for another day. I thank you because if it wasn't for you and the Son, Lord Christ Jesus, we would not be here today. Some was here yesterday, but they did not have life today. But, Lord, I thank you for those that are here, that you have blessed to live and to love you another day, that we pray that they learn to love and to serve you. Oh, God, I thank you. I can't thank you enough. I thank you for Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser. I thank you for Prophet Antoine Thomas. Thank you for Pastor Troy. Thank you for Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, Minister Brandon Kaiser, Dr. Serena Wright. I thank you for myself, Minister Sheila Kaiser. Lord, I thank you for each and every person. I thank you for the late, great Apostle Sandra Thomas and her family, to bless them all and to understand that she's in the house of the Lord, the house that is the greatest house that you can ever be in. I ask you to pray for the family of Elder Catholic Kendall that has passed on, to be in the house of God with all our brothers and sisters. Lord, I thank you for my daughters, my sons, my sisters, my granddaughters, my grandsons. I thank you for each and every person on this earth. Thank you for the ones I know and I don't know. I thank you for each and every one that's out here, no matter if they're your coworkers, your neighbors, or just someone you just say hello in the store. But I thank you to bless the government and let them know we are here for the people. You are here to serve the people, not just to serve yourself. You are here to do what's good for the people of this world. Lord, oh, we thank you, and I thank you, and like I said, I can't thank you enough. No matter what your health problem is, your finances, your family problem, your own problems, no matter what it is, take it and turn it over to God, because he can turn it around. He can bless you. He can show you the love like no other can show you. Don't let the devil and their demons convince you that with them you'll have a better life. You'll have a better life, a hurtful life, a hatred. We need you to remove all this hatred and harm and damnation from the peoples of this world. Lord, I need you to cover us. Oh, God, our Father and Lord Jesus, I need you to cover us, to help us all. to send your angels down to help us and show us the right way. The only way is your way, with love and understanding, where there be peace and love and enjoyment and happiness. Lord, we need you, and we need you, and we just need you more and more, and ask you to bless us and keep us all safe forever and ever. I thank you, and I thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Minister Sheila, for those words of encouragement through the prayer. I want to just say we're here every Monday night at 8 p.m. Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay, we're going to go straight into the Word. I hope you have your Bibles. Tonight, I want to start off by saying I've been looking at the news and just talking to different people that I come around, the people that's around. Hey, Tawanda, thank you for joining in. And I know a lot of people know me, and, you know, some people will say, well, she just say whatever she wants. She's unfiltered. You know, I don't know. It may be true, but I don't think it's true. I think it's just, I don't think people are used to people saying stuff to them first before they hear it from somebody behind their back. I try to say stuff that if I say it and somebody tell you I said it, you'll know right away what part I said and what part they said. You know, so that's the type of person I am. I just say what I want to say. And I had decided one day, okay, God, I think I hurt people's feelings a lot, and that's not what I want to do. And I just decided to ask God to save me and save me for real, not be walking around playing like I'm saved, walking around playing like, oh, I dot every I and I cross every T, because I don't. It was a time in my life that I had got sick, and the first time I got sick was in 2007, and my heart was beating so fast that every time I looked down or leaned down, I would almost roll over like if you was tumbling, if you were learning how to roll. And I remember we was at a cookout, a motorcycle cookout, and I went to pick up some cabbage and put it on the grill, and I was leaning forward, and I would begin to fall first, face first, towards the grill, and a friend grabbed me and pulled me back, and I had to go sit down because I was so dizzy, I couldn't balance myself. I couldn't think straight or see straight. And my sister, Minister Sheila Kaiser, was there. Hey, Artie. Hey, Panya. They was there, and they had to help me to the car. And I laid down in the car. I thought I was laying there for about 15, 20 minutes because I was so hot. I was just sweating and sweating, and I couldn't stop sweating. And my sister came to the car, and come to find out I had been laying there for a couple of hours. But I was so sick, I didn't even realize how sick I was. But I ended up in the hospital. And when I ended up in the hospital, the doctor came and said, Ms. Wright, your heart is beating 300 times a minute. And I said, huh? I didn't even know your heart could beat that fast. And you still be conscious. But I was conscious, but everything, it was moving like this. You know how you slow motion. But I really didn't know what was going on. I was living at the top of my life. I was hanging out with my motorcycle club and my friends. There was hundreds of people out there. We was having so much time. And I was just, I can't be sick. But anyway, I ended up getting sick, and I ended up where they had to do surgery on me. But before we went into surgery, the doctor was saying, is there any pressure in your chest? Are you having pain? And I said, you know what? No pain. It just feel like the commercial say, like an elephant was sitting on my chest. And he said, well, we have to rush you into surgery, but we got to flip you upside down so we can get the blood to run this way, and we can get this and get that. And I said, you do what you got to do, because I'm going to do what I got to do. But I remembered I came from a praying family. You know, for you all that don't know, I come from a sanctified family where we speak in tongues and we roll on the floor and they lay hands on you and you fall out. And, you know, and some people used to call us holy rollers. But I that's the kind of family I came from, where my mother and her sisters, they wore the long skirts and no lipstick and no makeup. You know, that's the kind of family I came from. And I thank God for coming from that kind of family, because, see, one thing I found when I was sick, I didn't call my friend. I told the doctor, you do what you got to do because I'm going to do what I got to do. And as he relayed me back, I began to say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's all I knew to say was Jesus. And that man looked at me, and I remember going out. But when I was out and they came to take me to surgery, the nurses came in my room and told me, you were singing. And I was saying, me? I was singing. They said, you were singing while you was unconscious. Now, I don't know if y'all heard what I said. They said I was singing while I was unconscious. I was unconscious, but I was singing in my spirit. My spirit man was, now this was in 06. Now, after they did the surgery, I ended up with a pacemaker defibrillator in my heart. And I said, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to live like this. I really had started thinking I had became handicapped, and I started feeling kind of bad for myself. But I remember different men and women of God ministering to me and family members of our great late Apostle Sandra Thomas. Lord, I thank you. She began to lay hands and tell me, Renee, the Bible says you can speak what you want. The reason she said it like that, because she was telling me what God's word said. And I began to just start talking to God, and I began to remember the visions that God used to give me when I was a kid of things that I was going to do and things he was going to have me to do. But at the time he was giving me those visions, I kept seeing myself in the visions, y'all, and I had salt and pepper hair. Y'all didn't hear me. I was young, but I had salt and pepper hair. Y'all see, I got some dye in my hair, but you look right there. I think I got some salt and pepper hair under that dye. I'm just trying to tell you what God had did for me. Excuse me for messing up my own hair. But God had gave me visions back then. And she had a woman of God come to our church to minister to us. At the time, our church was called No Cross, No Crown. And the woman of God said to me, she said, God said, get up and live. Now, this woman didn't know me from black or blue, from chicken and gravy, from rice or grits. This woman did not know me. And she laid her hands on my pacemaker and said, God said he gave you an extra heart. Not just the one you got to love him, but the extra one you have to love him. She said, whatever it is they gave you. And I looked at that woman, I began to weep because she didn't know. But anyway, that was the first time I got sick. God brought me back. The second time I got sick, I was riding on my motorcycle with my son on the back. It was about 6, 7 in the morning. I was trying to take him to school while I was going to work. And at that time, we stayed out south on 64th and Ingleside. And I remember riding, and when I got to 35th Street, I looked around, and I was like, what? I didn't know who I was. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't even know what I was doing. But I kind of stayed relaxed. My kid was on the back, and he said, Mom, you went past my stop. And I said, huh? And I began to talk to him while I was riding. I said, well, show me where I got to go so I'll know. So he told me how to get to his school. Once I got to his school, I came to myself a little while. And he said, Mom, what was wrong with you? You went past my stop. You don't ever go past my stop. You didn't even stop at McDonald's. And I looked at him, and I was too scared to say, baby, I don't know what happened to me. But anyway, within a split second, I kind of forgot where I was at again, but I knew who my son was. And he said, I was sitting there. He said, Mom, you going to go to work? And I was like, go to work? What do you mean? Where I go? So he was telling me how to get to work and how to do this and how to do that. Again, I came to myself. I ended up at work in the parking lot. But from there, I don't really know what happened. But a lady came and said, why don't you come on? Because I got an appointment in your clinic today. And she just really led me into the hospital. And as we was walking down the hall of the hospital clinic I worked at, she was like, nurse, what's wrong with you? You act like you don't know what you're doing. And she was just talking to me, and I was just looking at her, and she was like, you be so funny every day. You make me laugh. We ended up in the clinic, and I remember my coworkers talking to me, and I was trying to tell them because I came back to myself again. Something's wrong with me. Something's wrong with me, but nothing would come out of my mouth. All I could do was point to my mouth like, because nothing would come out. And my face started dropping on one side, and I couldn't lift my hand up on the other side. And I started looking a certain kind of way, and the lady that led me in, she said, she's having a stroke. And I had the nerve to look around to see who she was talking about, but she was talking about me. And I ended up in the hospital. And I ended up at the hospital I worked at for a couple of days. Now, you notice I keep saying the hospital because I don't want to say where I worked at because they were so scared to touch me. But my sister, Apostle Elect Cecilia, came in town to see about me. And I have a god sister that lives out south. She came to see about me, and she said, get her out of here. They transferred me from that hospital across the street to another hospital where they ended up saving my life because I had had a stroke. Hey, Pastor Blackshear, thank you for joining in. I had had a stroke, and I had this stroke, and I didn't know that I had a stroke. All I know is something wasn't right. I was in and out, in and out. And anyway, I ended up where having a stroke, I couldn't do nothing for myself. I wasn't able to take care of myself. I wasn't able to really do anything for myself. All I could do was just pray and just talk to God. Because I'm going to tell you something. God had had a call on my life, and God had been dealing with me over the years. But you know how us kids that's brought up in sanctified churches, we kind of be, when we're young, we kind of be a little embarrassed or whatever. But I had to learn not to be embarrassed. I had to learn how when my parents used to say and the church used to say, you can run from God, but you can't hide. You either going to do it with one hand, one eye, or one arm, but you're going to do it. So I decided that while this time I'm laying here healing, well, my sister was living in Wisconsin at the time. She drove to Chicago and picked me up and took me to her house where I couldn't do nothing but lay in a sanctified house. Y'all hear me now? I want you to hear me good. I had to lay in a sanctified house. I had to lay under a sanctified leadership. I had to lay under a woman that prays day and night, a woman that don't watch TV because God has delivered her from TV. I had to lay in a house where a woman is an intercessor, where she was praying for me when I was woke and she was praying for me when I was asleep. I had to lay in this house, and I had to heal. But when I tell you I couldn't do it, and I had a kid. And she not only took me in, she took my kid in. And I thank God for that because, see, I'm saying all this to you. Hey, Larry. Hey, AP. I'm saying all this to you to let you know that when God have a call on your life, people think that when you get saved, you get sad. No, you get saved and you get happy. And I'm telling you this because, see, when I was sick, I didn't call my friend and say, girl, I need you to pray for me. Mm-mm. Hey, James from Cleveland, my cousin. I had to call on the name of Jesus. I had to call on God. I had to call on G-O-D. Some people call on their dog, D-O-G, but I call on God. I had to call on God and say, God, I can't play no more because this thing is real. When I got sick and people was coming by to see me, they couldn't do nothing but do what they was doing, coming by to be nosy, coming by to tell me what somebody said and coming by to see if I was okay so they can go back and tell people what they saw and what they had to find out and what that's what I was going through. But when I decided to say, God, save me for real, save me for myself, save me from worrying about what people think, when I had to do that and I had to say, God, I just want to be saved. I when I ask people to pray for me, I ask them to pray, not prey. When I ask people to talk to God concerning me, when they say they're praying for me, I told them to be for real. Don't play with it. Pray with it. That's what I asked them to do. And I had to get into his word, and I had to start hearing people pray and people talk. Hey, Shamika, how you doing? Thank you for joining in. And I started listening to what people were saying, and everybody was saying the same thing to me. They were saying, baby, don't play with God. Don't play with his word. Do what God came to do, because, see, at the end of the day, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. And if you don't believe me, you could go to Isaiah 45 and 23 right now with me. It say, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Now, that just said that every knee shall bow. That's just one. Now, if you want to, you can go with me to Romans 14 and 22. Let's look at that. Let me find it real quick. What's that? I'm sorry. I guess it's 14 and 11. Yeah. For it is written, as I live, said of the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall come to God. That's another one I found. Now, as I was just reading his word and listening to him and listening to God minister to me while I was sick and listening to my friends, and I had to also start asking God to change the taste in my mouth. I don't mean for food so much. I mean, I had to ask God to change the taste in my mouth for friends. Why certain friends I want to be around? Why certain friends I want to hang around? I said, God, I need you to change my taste. Change my taste for life. Change my taste for just everybody I was hanging around. Wasn't good season. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say, okay? It wasn't good season for my spirit. What's that girl named Leandra? She got this record out, Exodus. I really like that record because I had to realize that sometime I wouldn't hurt nobody but myself. Because we could sit up here and call, Lord, 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 and say this and say that. But when people are looking at us, what are they saying? I know what I'm saying. I'm saying, God, teach me how to be transparent. Teach me how to want to be saved. Teach me how to not just want to live saved, but to walk saved, talk saved. Take some certain things and conversations out of my mouth. Take certain things and conversations away that my ear be itching up. Here, I'm like, Lord, I want to hear that. You know, I'm asking God to teach me how to bend my knee and call on him permanently and call on him at all times. I'm asking God to be God in my life. I'm asking God to just do what only he could do. And I'm not worried about what people say. Like I said, people think if you get saved and you want to be saved, you get sad. You don't get sad. Don't nothing change but the partner who you praise, who you honor, who you give glory to. I still ride my motorcycle when the weather breaks. I can still go around my friends and I can still talk to them and I can still have conversations, but it's just certain things I won't talk about. It was just certain things I won't partake in. Just certain places. It's not that I won't go. I don't even want to go no more. And I'm amazed at myself. I'm like, I want to go over there. That, you know, that it was a time, let me tell y'all, it was a time that I would be outside all day, all night. I just had to go. It was just a time. But now I find myself more laid back. See, I'm going to go back to my story of when I got sick. During the time that I had got sick from 2012 to 2018, I'll put it like that. 2012, July, I had my stroke. During that time, I lost my car. I lost everything. But I didn't lose my mind. I didn't get depressed. I didn't get nervous. I didn't get upset. I had my son. I thank God for my son because I never thought I would have children. But I have my son, and I remember he started saying, "Well, Mom, I'm gonna get a job at McDonald's. I'm gonna do." I told him, no, baby, your job is to focus and stay in school. You let your mama worry about grown up stuff." And I thank God that my kid did what he had to do, so he could do what he had to do because he wanted to go to college and I wanted him to go, but I didn't have the money and I was off work because I had a stroke and we had became homeless. Thank God for my nephew Juan and his mom, my sister Sheila Kaiser, as well as my sister Celia Kaiser, who stepped in to help me and my son out. Even my niece LaVon Kaiser Merritt and her husband Carlton. They stepped in because, you know what, I found that I had a village. And even though me and my village don't color the same or we don't always agree, they was there for me and my need. And at that time, God had touched everybody's heart to be there for me. And when I had lost all this stuff, I kept saying, "God, I want to go back to work one day. And, God, I want to buy a house. And, God, I want this and I want that." And I want you all to know, I went from no car to a cousin giving me a car to being able to buy me a car. And now, not only do I have a car, I have three cars. Yeah. Still have my motorcycle. Yeah. That's God. Not only that, I went back to work. Yeah. I didn't just go back to work. I bought a new house. Yeah, that's God. See, I'm going to tell you something. I went from homeless to a house home. And it may sound like, "Oh, really?" Yeah, really. Because, see, when I became homeless and I was going to go live in a shelter, the hour before I was going to go live in his shelter, my niece called me and said, "Hey, tell me you don't have to do this." And there was nobody but God because I didn't say nothing. I was ashamed. I was embarrassed. I didn't say a word, but God touched her heart that she said, "Auntie, you don't have to do this. Come over here." I mean, for somebody to beg you to come live with them, y'all don't know. I've been blessed all my life. And to play with this, I can't do it anymore. I don't care who see me. I don't care who know. I want to be saved. I want to be saved for real. See, this blog talk we do, we don't ask somebody to send money in. But if you want to, we could bless our speakers. I do this because I know I heard God tell me to do it. We ask God for things, but we don't want to give God things not unless we need something. Y'all, I don't need nothing right now. I really don't. All my needs are there. When I went back to work, I could have went back in nursing. But see, my life was on the line. I'm going to tell you about vain and pride and all that stuff. My life was on the line, and I said, "God, if I go back to work, I'm going to be sitting down a lot and I'm going to be moving here and there." I said, "God, what do I do?" And God told me to go back to work. And y'all won't believe where he told me to go to. He told me to go into housekeeping. And I said, "Housekeeper?" I said, "God, people are going to look down on me." And again, God began to minister to me. And I began to think about, I don't care how you look down on me. I got a check. I get paid. I got three cars, a motorcycle, and a new house. Look what I got, baby, a handful. I got that because God saw enough in me that when this opportunity came up to be able to do this blog talk and talk about the goodness of God, I was too scared to say no. I was too scared to say let somebody else do it. I was too scared to say, "Oh, well, you know what? God haven't delivered me from this, and God haven't delivered me from that, and I still do this, and I still do that, and I still say this, and I still play like this and play like that. I was too scared to say no. You know what I said? I said, fix me, Lord. Fix me, Lord, that I can do what you told me to do. When I said, God, I don't know no other way in life but to call on the name of Jesus, plead the blood over Jesus. I'm sorry, plead the blood of Jesus over whatever situation. That picture, well, that's not that side. This picture over here, right here, that's my youngest son, myself, and my husband. If y'all knew me and y'all know what God has done for me, y'all would know. Yeah, I will be flooding my page with hearts and thumbs, and I'm telling you, because God has brought me so far. God has brought me from such a long way. I can't do nothing. I wake up in the morning, or every morning I'll be saying, Lord, I want to thank you for allowing me to wake up. I want to thank you for being in my right mind. I want to thank you for everything you've done, because, see, when I got sick the way I got sick and I was going to see my doctor kept asking me, was I depressed? I said, depressed? I said, no, sir, I'm not depressed. I think he was asking me that because I wasn't coming there with, you know, high heels and nice dress clothes. I was just coming in like I just got up and came in here. I said, no, sir, I'm not depressed. I'm broke. I said, there's a difference between being depressed and being broke. I only spent money on things that I had to spend money on, like food, son getting a haircut, having him go, you know, stuff like that. But I wasn't just spending money because I wanted to get my hair done or my nails done or I needed some new lipstick or eyeshadow. I didn't spend money on stuff like that no more because those were not priorities. Those were not necessities. Those were just wants. And I didn't want that stuff no more. I told you, I asked God to change some things in my life. I asked God to take away some things in my life. I asked God to remove some things in my life. Now, when I say things, I'm not just talking about, I'm talking about people. I'm talking about taste, attitude. I asked God to just, God, take care of me. Put me in a place that you want me to be, that when people look at me, they'll say, that woman is blessed. I remember when she first got sick. I remember the second time she got sick. I remember this. But now you could say, when if anybody says, oh, what's she doing? I've gained weight. Not proud of it, but I'm happy to say I've gained. I ain't skinny. I could better let you know. I ain't missing no meals. See, at one point, this is the only exercise I could do was reach, scoop, pull, push. That was the only thing I had learned how to do. But now, like I said, I'm back to work. I'm working in housekeeping. I don't have no problem with it because, see, when the doctor was telling me to join the health club, I said, the health club, that means I'm going to have to pay a monthly fee. I'm going to have to get up and go. I'm going to have to get there, find a park, get dressed, do this. Instead of paying to go to the health club, I'll let the health club pay me. That means when I go to work and I pull garbage bags up, tie them up, shake the other ones out, put it in, and I sweep and mop and throw the bag in the garbage and pull the bag out the garbage thing and throw it into the gondola, I didn't have to work out. I get the sweat. Look at my hair. Look at my hair. I had some curls. I've got some. Few right here, but the back of it, flat. I get the workout, so I get paid now to work out. So I just want you all to know that I love the Lord. I know the Lord loves me. Thank God for everything he's done for me. I thank God for the way he has kept me. I thank God for all that he's doing for me, because I'm telling you, to go from homeless to a new home. I ain't say an apartment. I'm telling you, I was able to buy a home. No, I didn't scheme. No, I didn't come up with no reason. I allowed God to give me this home. Oh, I'm gonna say this to you also. when some people will be ashamed to say it, but I'm not. When I had became homeless, I don't know how I ended up on Section 8. But somehow, I ended up on Section 8. And I said, Lord, I ain't never been on Section 8. I always had a job. God, I ain't never been on public aid. I always had a job. But, baby, I had a link card. And I used it. And I was happy. Because I didn't have to beg nobody for food. I didn't have to pay taxes. Paying taxes, yeah, I know what I'm talking about. I didn't have to make no late night calls and say, you know, I need this and that. I had a link card and I had a disability check, and I thank God for that. Not only did I do that, I ended up on Section 8. And as I was on Section 8, a friend of mine, she was telling me, she's a real good friend. She's been doing my half a year. She said, you know, Renee, I know people be on Section 8. Section 8 helped them buy a house. I started acting like, what you talking about, Willie? I said, Section 8 helped them buy a house. She said, yeah. I said, okay. So I was on Section 8 for 3 years. I was able to get my money together and go back to work. And I asked them about the program to buy a house. And they said, well, you have to do this and you have to do that. And I said, oh, really? So it took me a little while to get back to work. After I got back to work, I had been on Section 8 for a little while. What I meant by I was on Section 8 for 3 years, I mean, it took me 3 years while I was on Section 8 to get to the place to get back to work, to get the money together to buy a house. So I was looking at all these different houses, and I decided I wanted to get this big, glamorous house and all this and all that. And one day I sat down and I was saying, oh, God, I don't like these houses because they want too much. And then you got to put all this money into it. I said, God, I just want a house to move in. I don't want to have to do nothing. So he asked me, why are you looking at these big houses if you don't want to do nothing? That means you got to do a lot of cleaning up. You're already cleaning up at work. You're going to go home and clean up too. And I said, God, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Why would I go out here and get a 4-5-bedroom house just because I can afford to get it? And you know I don't want to clean it up. Hey, Rakita, how you doing? I said, Lord, I need something just big enough for me and my husband. That's all I need. Because my son is grown now, my baby boy. He's grown now, and he went away to school, and I think he's about to get married. Lord, that hurt my heart, but I'm real glad. That means he don't have to get a job, don't have to call his mama and ask for no money no more. Anyway, that's a sidebar. I thank God for all he's done, all he's doing. I have a nice little house that it's big enough for me and my husband. It's a 3-bedroom and 2 baths. It's very nice. And I'm living in an area that I was once told I could never live in. I told you earlier that that's God. I'm living in a house that I was once I could never afford. That's God. When you throw your hands up and you allow God to move in your life, people that know me, that knows my background, that knows where I come from, that know how they say what I used to do, what I used to be. When they see me now and they say, oh, girl, you look so different, baby. I hope when you see me from this point on, because all this right here, it was by the grace of God. And for you all that don't believe it, when I tell you I had a stroke, I had a carotid stroke. That's God. That's how they saved my life, because I wasn't getting any oxygen to my brain. And by me going into housekeeping is because I can't remember a lot of things, or it takes a long time for me to remember. And, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, girl, I wouldn't have told nobody. That's you. See, you never know how God's going to bless you. Some people still filling bags at the supermarket. Some people cutting fries and flipping burgers. You never know how God's going to bless you. What his word say? If you be grateful for a few things, he'll make you rule over. I'm grateful that I'm able to pull these bags, because, see, one thing I do know about me, my gift will make room for me. If and when God wants me to go back into whatever I was doing, He's going to make a way. I have a friend that's looking on here. Her name is Shamika Williams. Shamika's a nurse. I work with her. Tawana Gibbons is a nurse. I work with her. I'm in housekeeping. I know how people look down on housekeeping. But I'm going to tell you something. If you go into a restaurant, if you go into a hotel, if you go into and you come in or you look in, it looks dirty. It smells dirty. The dishes are dirty, the silverware, whatever. You're not going to eat there. So when you see housekeepers from now on, you better know. You never know who is who and where people come from or how they live. So you need to understand housekeeping is a major part of your program. You do housekeeping at home. So if somebody come over your house and it smell like a dog, first thing they're going to want to know, where's the dog? If your house, if you come over your house and you must, and it smells a little, you're going to be saying, girl, I'll talk to you outside, or call me on the phone. And you ain't going to get too much company, because if you do, they ain't going to want to sit down. So housekeeping ain't all that bad. All you got to do is do what you got to do, know what you got to do, and get up and go in there and do what you're supposed to do and call it a day. So I'm going to ask you all if you have any questions for me. Etta, yes, baby, I'm okay. You all right? I'm doing so much better. You all right? That's the question. Rakita, thank you for tuning in. I thank God for everybody that's looking in. My cousin Meech, never met you, but thank you for tuning in. Tanya Baker, Toya, well, he's called a bird. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you all. I will start doing this program on Fridays. That's called Let's Talk. Fridays on Facebook Live. It's going to be at 9 p.m. I hope that's not too late for you all. You all could call in to our blog talk if you all want to. Yes, at a housekeeper keeps me moving. And that's for my life. It's for my life. So you said, what made you make the decision to fall in love with Jesus? Because falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus, the best thing I've ever done. I found out when I fell in love with Jesus that Jesus didn't talk back to me nasty. Jesus didn't decide he was tired of me because he had done so much for me. Jesus told me that I could come to him with every care. Jesus told me that he had my back. And each time I got sick, I found out Jesus had my back. When I depended on people to help me when I needed money for my car note, I told you I lost it. Depending on people to help me to pay rent, when I told you I lost it. But when I threw my hands up and said, God, I can't do it no more. God, I depend on you to take care of me. Somehow, I ended up on Section 8. I got a letter in the mail that said, are you still interested and being on Section 8. And I said, God, I thank you. And began to say, God, I don't know where this comes from, but I thank you. I thank you because I've always had a job since we were kids. We didn't grow up in the bestest of neighborhoods. You heard me say bestest. But ain't nothing like Walnut Street, baby. The 3,500 block of Walnut, I'm telling you, we learned a lot on Walnut. One thing I can tell you about Walnut Street is, if you was hungry, you ain't had no business being hungry. Because, see, everybody knew at our house, my mama had biscuits and salmon croquettes. And we knew on Wednesdays we could go to 3519, to Roslyn College, Anazette College, to Barbara College, our other mama house, because her husband was making chili. So we knew what size to eat. We knew on Thursdays we could go to 3507 because Miss Wilson on the second floor, her husband, Mr. Wilson, was making Creole. We knew that. We even knew if Lady Bird, their mom and daddy didn't catch us, we could get a hot dog. You didn't have to be hungry on Walnut Street. We may not have been rich over there, but I tell you what we was rich in family. Everybody on the block was almost related to each other. Either it was through marriage or it was through bloodline. But basically, that was a family block. We grew up saying, we may have fought, but we fought together. You wasn't going to come on our block and fight nobody. If you did, you had to fight that whole block. We found out one thing. Our block was full of Christians. We had Catholics. We had Baptists. We had Sanctified. We had all religion, but we all believed in Jesus. But I just want to say to you all, thank you all again for tuning in. Come back on Friday. We're going to do Let's Talk. If you all want to make any comments or you all want to just say something, we would love to hear from you on Friday nights at 9 p.m. I will be back with Let's Talk. I don't know what God is going to have me to talk about because, see, I'm going to show you all on this ministry, being saved is not a sad thing. Being saved is not boring. Like I said earlier, I still ride my motorcycle. I may just come on and let you all hear me ride my motorcycle, playing my music, and I'm going to be playing some gospel music riding down the street, letting you all watch the people watch me. I may pull over and pray for somebody. If you all want prayer, just tune in. And thank you, Bird. You know, my mama did not misfeed nobody. Anybody could come to our house and eat. My cousin Bobby Brown from Detroit, he's watching in. He used to drive from Detroit just to come get some biscuits and salmon croquettes. Hey, Mankey, what's going on? So I just decided to get on here and let you all know that I wanted to be saved. And I did what I needed to do. I repented. I asked God to forgive me. And I asked him to be my Lord and Savior. You know, I don't do a lot of things I used to do. I still do some of the things that I used to do, too. But it's not because of that. It's because I changed partners. I no longer do things like the world say I should do it. I now try to think before I say something because there was a time. Let me take these glasses off. It was a time you say something to me, oh, you was going to catch it. You was going to catch it. But now I step back and say, God, would this edify you if I say that? Would this edify you if I do this? Because, see, I don't have no problem pulling that thing or cutting it. But I thank God for delivering. It's a daily thing. I'm asking God daily to deliver me. And I know a lot of y'all probably said, girl, she said that? Yeah, I said it. I said it because, see, I'm letting you all know what God delivered me from and what God did for me. But we're going to stop right there. We're going to just go into prayer before we end the service on tonight. And I just want to say to you all, don't forget this ministry live. Don't forget God is able to do anything but fail. And I do know one thing. I ask God to put a bridle on my mouth to keep me from saying something, keep me from saying things certain way because of certain things I got to let go and I got to get out of my spirit. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for tonight, oh Lord. We thank you for watching over us, God. We thank you for allowing us to come to you once again after you to forgive us of every sin. We thank you for asking the people to just let you know if they don't want to be saved, if they're not saved, God, give them a heart and mind to be saved. God, I just thank you right now for everything. I thank you for every family member. I thank you for every friend. I thank you for everybody that joined on the line. I thank you, God, for just touching the people's heart. I thank you for putting a yes in their spirit, oh, Lord. I thank you for covering them with the blood of Jesus. I thank you for healing their bodies, oh, God. I thank you for being God in our life. I thank you for a chance to ask you to be God in our life. God, I thank you for covering our government, covering our jobs, covering our household, covering everything, God. For those that don't have hope, God, I'm asking you to give them hope. Take away the hopelessness, God. Let them know that if they don't have to dot every I and cross every T to be one of your servants, God, because you said if we be your people, you will be our God. God, I just thank you for that. Thank you for knowing your word, God. Teach us how to hide your word in our heart, that when we need it, God, we can call upon it. God, teach us how to just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I didn't know. I'm sorry that I did know and I act like I didn't know. God, I just want to ask you all tonight, cover every listener on Blog Talk. Cover every viewer on Facebook, God. Cover us. Teach us how to see people where they're somewhere in the future. They look much better than they do right now. Teach us how to know that if we just raise our hand and say, God, forgive me, and mean it from my heart, that you will heal our land, this land. That if we say to you, oh God, teach me how to want you. God, teach us how to pray. Cover every minister that's on this viewing, on the line, on Blog Talk. God, we just want to say we love you, Lord, with the love of the Lord. We love you, Lord, with the love of your people. We love the people with the love of the Lord. God, we just thank you for being God. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. So, I'm going to tell you all this. Let me read it from my paper because I don't want to leave anything out. As I said, every Monday we are here on Blog Talk at 310-54 from 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Next Monday will be another speaker. Don't forget, every Friday night from this point forward, I will be taking over our very own elder, Kathy Kendall's program. Kathy passed away on April 6th, and we're thanking God for her because she has her wings. We're thanking God that she died doing what she loved to do, and that was giving God all the glory, the honor, and the praise. We will miss her, but we will not let her program go without being spread out. We will not let her program die because we know there was something dear to Kathy Kendall's heart. Every Sunday morning, our very own apostle, like Cecilia Kaiser, along with Minister Sheila Kaiser, will be ministering at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And their program is called Let's Talk. The program on Friday night is called Let's Talk. We will also ask you all to get this in your spirit. We have a foundational scripture which we share on every Blog Talk ministry service we have Monday, Sunday, and Friday, which is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So with that being said, again, I want to thank every viewer tuned in. I will see you all Friday night on Blog Talk. Rather, what I mean see you is your comments and your love. And hopefully you share this video. So I just want to say good night, everyone. Love you all.